10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Watchman's Cry, News from the Wall, your source for the truth and what's really happening today.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Watchman's Cry, News from the Wall, the program that offers insight on today's current events and examines them through the lens of biblical end-time truth. I'm Nathan Leal, and the website is watchmanscry.com. Today on this program, we're going to examine some very important topics. Here in the United States of America, as many of you know, Obama has gone rogue. And the United States is experiencing something that she hasn't experienced in quite some time. Folks, right now we are enduring, we are watching, we are witnessing a political crisis taking place before our very eyes. Because we have a sitting president that is acting openly defiant against the will of the people and against the Constitution. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in spite of your political leanings, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, it doesn't matter. Obama is doing things that are trampling on the rule of law as written in the Constitution. Now, why is this happening? And what does it mean? Why is he doing it? I'm sure many of you have been wondering. You've been thinking about it. You've been talking about this and discussing it amongst your peers, your family. There are a lot of people that are wondering what is going on. Because the executive orders that he recently signed make no sense when examined through the lens of America's fiscal well-being. Giving amnesty to 5 million illegal aliens who may need government aid is going to be very expensive. And out of those millions, many of them will add to the competition for jobs that don't exist here in America. Because the real unemployment rate is upwards of 17 to 21%, and now we're adding millions more to compete for the few jobs that remain. This is not going to help the black communities or the white communities or the Hispanic communities. This thing is a recipe for disaster. It goes against all common sense of managed immigration. It goes against basic math. Now, am I being uncaring? No. I'm just telling the truth, folks. The added burden to the welfare rolls and the healthcare rolls and the stresses on education, it creates another unfunded demographic charter that will add more stress to state budgets and local governments that already are under duress. So the big question that many people are asking is, why? Why is he doing this? What is he thinking? Whose idea was this? Was it his? How can good come out of this? Now, some of you may be saying, Nathan, what's the big deal? Don't worry about it. It's going to take care of itself. Don't you care about those children that he's allowing to become legalized? Don't you care about them? Well, yes, I do, folks. But in order for a nation to prosper, it must operate under the rule of law. And the last executive order slash mandate that Obama signed sidestepped the rule of law. And without law, we will have chaos. And history has taught us already where that leads. We have seen Pol Pot, Chairman Mao, Stalin, Lenin, Kim Jong, Castro, Baby Doc Duvalier, Mussolini, King Herod, Pharaoh, Ahab, and Jezebel. Ladies and gentlemen, there are some bizarre things taking place right now. And there are some very painful things that are coming to this nation, and we're watching them already. And those of you who may be sympathetic to Obama, let me ask this. Is this what you really want? Do you really want to have a king who can choose and dictate according to the weather? And if you say he wouldn't do that, I wonder what planet you're living on, because he's doing it right now. Ladies and gentlemen, we're there. And in the natural, I find it very disturbing as I watch these things take place. I find myself grieved, and over the last few days, I took these matters to God. I prayed and I asked him, what's going on? Because I found myself disturbed. When I examined current events in the natural and saw what Obama is doing, I had the same response that many of you are having to deal with right now. You see, folks, I'm a normal person. I do love America. I do understand the Constitution. I understand what freedom means. I understand what it takes to maintain our pursuit of liberty and happiness here in this country. But then when I watch what Obama recently did, it makes me wonder, is this a dream? Is this a Twilight Zone? And I'm sure that many of you have been disturbed by this. I know you have. I've read the blogs. I've seen the forums. I've read the reports. I see the confusion that many are having. A lot of people are scratching their heads saying, now what? How is this going to end? What is this going to lead to? Some people are even turning up the heat and the rhetoric with some of their suggestions and words. This whole matter is a recipe that is not going to end well if it stays its present course. So I took this matter to God and I asked him for help. God, what's going on? Help me to see past the mayhem and the confusion and show me what is going on, because I want to be able to bring a word to the people. Because when I look out over the wall and I look at the horizon and I see the political landscape, this doesn't look good. So I sought him over the past few days and praise God, he answered. And he reminded me of a few things and he also showed me a few things. And now, folks, I'm going to share these things with all of you. And I am hopeful that as I do, it will help to settle down some of you that find this information disturbing when you watch what Obama's doing. I am hopeful that these words that I share today are going to bring things into the proper perspective. So I want to invite you to please take notes and pray about the things that you hear. I'm going to present some very interesting things that are going to be very informative. Some of them are going to be challenging, but also they're going to bring you hope. This word is to bring hope for the people of God. And folks, now more than ever, as we watch events unfold before us in the coming days and in the coming weeks, there's going to be a lot of questions raised. And if people do not maintain the correct perspective, they're going to find themselves challenged and they're going to find themselves tempted to possibly be led astray or listen to the wrong counsel. And we can't afford that. If you are a child of God and if you want to be a part of his elect, if you want to hear the words, well done, thy good and faithful servant, from him someday, then it's your job and it's your duty to maintain the correct perspective, to stay on course, to make sure that your heart stays focused on the path and that you are not swayed to the left or to the right as you run the race in these end times. It's important, folks, because as I've been observing a lot of the reaction from what Obama recently did, I'm noticing that even in the conservative media, even in Christian forums and blogs, and even amongst those who are supposed to be awake and know what's going on, I'm hearing some things that are disturbing. I'm beginning to hear some voices already saying that we need to take it back by force. And of course, I understand how someone could allow themselves to start thinking that way, because I understand from the historical and political academic point of view, which is a natural point of view, I do understand how someone could lean that way, because after all, if you're a red-blooded American, and if you come from the older generations, you cut your teeth on the historical narrative of our forefathers who fought valiantly to give us this nation that we were raised in. And there's a certain segment of society that breathes and lives and understands our history from that point of view. So I understand the natural tendency to want to resort and revert back to that spirit, the spirit of Patrick Henry or George Washington, our forefathers. But at the same time, folks, the thing that must be stressed is that we no longer live in 1776. This is a different world. We live in a world that no longer has the same basic foundational elements that existed back then. And we are not facing the same sort of beast that early America faced. We're facing a Goliath now. We're facing a political monster that spans this country from coast to coast and extends its reach throughout the planet. The New World Order is end time Bible prophecy. The New World Order is going to be an entity that we will have to deal with and that our children will have to deal with in the days and in the months ahead. Now, I'm saying that with the understanding that we're in the end times. And I'm sure that the majority of us can agree that we are in the end times. So if that is true, ladies and gentlemen, that means that during the end times, the world geopolitical arrangement is going to change. We're going to see the world morph into a creature that did not exist 10 to 20 years ago. So if you're a child of God, those of you that are Christians abiding here in America, we need to be able to process all of the things taking place around us with the correct perspective. Now, folks, I cannot stress that enough. We have to have the right perspective. We have to maintain our civil order, our testimony, and we have to maintain operating under common sense. Because in spite of what Obama is doing, the political process of America must maintain itself and take the high ground. If some of you are saying, Nathan, are you saying we should just throw in the towel and give up and not try to turn this thing around? No, I'm not saying that. But I am saying this. There is a correct and proper political process to deal with these matters. And the correct process must include logical and peaceful attempts to reverse the unconstitutional madness. And we must do everything we can to maintain civil order so that we don't fall into the trap that Obama is trying to achieve. And by the way, folks, that's what this is. This thing is a trap. It's a snare. It's a snare that has been devised wickedly to try to get a reaction from the American public. It's an attempt to throw out a net and to dig a political pit so that people can fall into it so that Obama can then take this country to the next phase of the New World Order scheme. Now, as it stands, as I just stated, the political process of America must do everything it can to maintain peace. But here's the question. Will the process happen? Will it, folks? Do you think it can? Are we beyond the normal rules now? Will all of it be for naught? I'm throwing these questions out because I believe I have some answers to them. But I still have to ask the questions. Will the peaceful process happen? And if it does, will it take place in a peaceful manner? Will the process of change and taking America back to sanity be achieved in a peaceful manner? If so, then that would mean that the rule of law still works in this country. But here's the next question. Does the rule of law still work in America? What do you think, folks? Will there be political leaders who will rise up and declare that Obama's tactics are wrong and illegal and nullify his tide of unconstitutional insubordination through, again, folks, very important, through the legal and peaceful process? Will the new freshmen that have been voted into Congress or the Senate do their job? The people of America spoke in the past election with the landslide victory of the Republican Party. If we go back a few weeks ago, we saw that happen and we saw the celebrations. I observed the celebrations, but I knew it wasn't going to last. And I sent out a bulletin, an alert, that explained that this thing was not going to last. That fracturing in the Republican Party was coming. And also political panic was coming. And by the way, folks, that hasn't happened yet. That is coming. There is going to be a fracturing in the Republican Party that's going to happen in the future. We're going to watch the Republican Party go through a season of panic because they're not going to know what to do. There are some things that are coming to this nation that Obama's going to make sure happen that the Republicans are not ready for and they're not going to be able to deal with. I really believe it, folks. But a few weeks ago when the Republicans had their landslide victory, a lot of people cheered because they thought that with the election results, America could return to a course of restoration and rebuilding. But now here we are a few weeks later, and we're watching that the new Senate and the new Congress are going to be dealing with a president that is defiling his oath of office and believes that he can operate unilaterally on his own. And of course, you know this, folks. You've been watching. You've been watching and observing. We all have. And we're watching what appears to be a cornered tiger that is very angry. So as we witness these things, many of you are wondering, what now? What does this mean? What's it going to lead to? And on the internet, I'm noticing that there are a lot of opinions. There are many people who are already crying for impeachment. There's a lot of thoughts out there. There are a lot of constitutional lawyers who are running up and down the halls of Congress searching for a remedy. And also, the world is watching. And some of the headlines around the world are declaring that for the first time in U.S. history, America has a king, a Caesar, a dictator, a tyrant. Here in America, many people are diagnosing the situation and they're examining it through a political and constitutional point of view, but I have yet to see a diagnosis from the spiritual point of view. I haven't found it, folks. Now, I'm sure that it's out there in the nether regions of portions of the internet, here and there. Perhaps some humble servant who understands what time it is has written from this point of view, but for the most part, I have yet to see a diagnosis from the spiritual point of view, which points to a spiritual reason that this is happening. Most people aren't doing this, folks. You're not going to find this on the news. They're not going to talk about why this is happening from the spiritual point of view. So, ladies and gentlemen, today, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to present a perspective from the spiritual and the biblical point of view to what I am observing as the real truth from the wall. Because, my friends, there is a real truth. And we can know the truth. And when we get down to the very foundation of this life here on earth and the things that are taking place here on earth and here in America, the truth is really what matters. The truth is going to affect your outcome. The truth will decide your future and your family's future. My friend, the truth of what's happening is going to determine the path that you will choose to follow. And if we're able to find the truth, if we're able to see the truth for what it really is, and hold on to the truth as Christians, then you will be able to develop a plan of action for endurance and for survival. Now, my friends, it's very important that we understand this. Today's news headlines are going to affect all of us in the coming days. They're going to affect you. The things that are happening today in the news headlines will affect you. So, my friends, welcome to today's program. Please share this with all of your loved ones. Share it with your friends, your family members, with pastors, spiritual leaders, co-workers. Share it with those who are wondering about the recent developments. For the people that have a lot of questions, share this with them, folks. Because I promise you this, I'm going to talk about things that you will not hear on popular talk radio or from most pulpits. The news outlets are short-sighted, and when you think about it, they're not equipped to share these things from the spiritual level. So I want to welcome you to this program, my friends. And I want to thank you for those of you that are regular listeners, for those of you that graciously welcome this program into your homes. I appreciate it, folks. My desire is to help you and to provide you with information that will help to equip you as you navigate through the chaos that surrounds us. And if you appreciate our efforts here at Watchman's Cry, I don't like to have to do this, but our support has been down lately. And I know that that's a reflection on the economy struggling, but I still want to share this. Our Watchman's Cry family vehicle, which is 15 years old, is in need of a blood transfusion, and it has issues. And here at Watchman's Cry, we run a humble ministry, so the snow is starting to fall, and my wife is driving on bald tires with bad brakes, so I'm sharing this with you, ladies and gentlemen, because here at Watchman's Cry, I'm here to serve you. But in doing that, we depend on the generous gifts of you, the listeners. So I just want to leave it at that. I don't want to draw this out. If you appreciate this ministry, ask God about sending a love gift so that we can take care of this and be ready for the weather that is coming. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856, or you can go to our website at watchmanscry.com and contact us there. Now, on this program, I'm going to talk about several things, and the things that I'm going to mention span present political events. We're going to talk about what Obama has been doing, and we're going to visit the question of, is this politics as usual? In other words, what's going on with Obama? Why is he doing what he is doing? Right now, there are two big stories that have developed over the past few days and weeks. We have Obama signing the executive order for amnesty for millions of illegals, And then we have the events of Ferguson. At the time of this release, Ferguson is brewing, and I'm expecting madness to erupt. And as we examine the things happening in Ferguson, one of the questions that some people may ask in the natural is, why is there so much anger? How is it possible that this thing became so organized to erupt into the bomb that it is? How did that happen? Was it random? Or did the organizers have some help from the powers that be? Based on what we're observing so far, we can see that the Department of Justice has already involved themselves in this. And Obama has already involved himself in this. He has met with some of the leaders of the protest groups, and he told them to stay the course. So, again, another question, why? What does he want to come out of this? Now, folks, think about this. Ferguson has to do with the black community, and the executive order for amnesty has to do with the Hispanic community. So you have two racial groups that are involved in some political events that are going to erupt and that are upsetting the general population. This thing is a brew and a recipe for an explosion of chaos and mayhem in the future. As I stated a few moments ago, I was bothered when I saw the executive order that Obama signed. And of course, I knew it was going to happen. We all knew. He told us it was going to happen. But when it did, it bothered me. The natural part of me was disturbed. So I took these matters to God and I prayed. I asked God why. And what position am I supposed to take when I review these things? When I summarize them? When I share them with the listening audience? What is my view supposed to be? Because I'm up here on the wall, folks, and I see the things that are coming to America. But then when I turn around and look within the nation, when I look into the village of USAville, I also see chaos. And I see that there are people who are purposely dismantling the last remnants of our village, of this country. And it bothers me. It bothers me, folks. So I asked God, I said, God, what in the world is going on? So God calmed me down. I was on my knees praying, and he settled my heart. And then he explained some things. He led me to some passages of scripture to settle my heart and to explain to me what's going on. So I'm going to share this with you. Now, folks, again, I don't have anything to hide. I'm just letting you know, folks, that from time to time, I get disturbed. I find myself unsettled and discouraged. And when I watch what Obama did, there was a part of me, the patriotic side of me, was upset. And I shared those things with God. So God settled me, and I'm sharing this with you so you can know that even I need comforting at times. But the things that he shared with me, I have submitted myself to them. So I want to talk to you about them. So here's what it is, folks. When we watch what's taking place in America from a ground view, it's easy to have limited perspective. All we see is our humans who are behaving in a certain manner. When we pull back from the view and examine the big picture, and then when we include the Bible, the end times, then we have to come to terms that things that are happening now are a part of the end time puzzle. Because the end time puzzle has a lot of pieces to it. And eventually it's going to form the picture that we can find in the book of Revelation. But right now, we just have a few random pieces here and there that are coming together. And I understand that there's a tendency here in America, especially when we see isolated pieces that are arriving. I understand how if we focus on those pieces only, we can get very upset. We can become angry. So what I want to do on this program is to bring everything into perspective. And I want to say this, folks, and I know it's not easy to hear, but this is the truth. If we're in the last days, and if the end time puzzle, let's say for an example, if you were looking down on a table, you know, Thanksgiving is coming and the holidays are coming, and during this season, this part of the winter, people will get puzzles and fill up the whole table with a puzzle, 1,000 pieces. And at first, the pieces are random and there's a lot of holes in them, but eventually the pieces start coming together and then the picture forms. Well, in the same way, in these end times, there's a lot of pieces of the end time puzzle that are isolated pieces where each piece can be viewed as an event. Some of them can be major events. Some of them can be very disturbing events. And if we're able to reckon with ourselves that the big picture means when it's complete, that Jesus is going to come back to this planet and he's going to come back and rescue us, then it gives us something to look forward to. It gives us hope. And that's what I want to share with you. That's what I want to bring to the table today, folks. The chaos that we are watching, one by one, are pieces to the end time puzzle. And the chaos includes some of the crazy, bizarre things that Obama is doing. The executive order, the amnesty, the racial riots, the tension, all of these things are a part of the end time puzzle. And these things are going to take place at different times in the future, in different categories. They're going to appear before our eyes. As each new piece appears, if we allow ourselves to listen to the theme of our fellow villagers, of our friends who are not thinking from the end time spiritual point of view, we could find ourselves caught up in the frenzy. And we can't do that, folks. Now, there are a variety of categories of events that are going to come. Some of the things that are going to happen are going to be mysteries that will occur beyond the vision of most people and beyond the comprehension of most people. But these things are all a part of the end time puzzle of end time prophecy. Now, as I have been watching, there's one thing I'm starting to notice, and it's very surprising to me because I didn't expect it to play out the way it's happening now. When I was first saved, when I became a Christian at 17 years old in 1980, that was a long time ago. At that time, there were a few end time books that existed. Hal Lindsey was one of the big sellers back then, Late Great Planet Earth. You folks remember those? Those of you that have been around long enough? And I remember reading those books by the end time writers back then. And I noticed that the writers of these books in the 80s, they were basically echoing each other. They kept reciting the same narrative, and they recited a narrative from a point of view of, really, it was fiction. They weren't in the end time, so they were speculating, they were guessing. But the picture and the landscape that they painted was a landscape where, for the most part, it was the Christians versus the non-Christians. How many of you folks can remember that the Christians always knew? The Christians had it figured out. The Christians could see the Antichrist, and they knew who the Antichrist was. They could see the one world government rising up, and all of the Christians knew, and all of the pastors were preaching from the pulpits the truth so that the Christians could all be ready. And they all worked together, and they saw through any attempt at deception. They all knew who the Antichrist was. So when I read those books in my past, it had an influence on me because I grew up thinking that when the end times did come and when prophecies started happening, we would know what to look for because the books told us what the prophecies were and they told us what signs to look for. And I thought that everyone would have it figured out. But now, here I am, folks, 34 years later. And if you've been on this journey long enough, I'm sure you will agree with me that a lot of the signs that we were supposed to be looking for have not happened. In fact, some of them can never happen. So, in essence, those writers back then got it wrong. They gave us signs to look for that aren't going to happen. And here's the part that's sad. The general portion of today's church is still looking for signs that are never going to happen. For example, one of the signs I remember was the 10 nations. You know, the Bible says the beast is going to have 10 horns. So we were told back then that those 10 kings, the 10 horns, were going to come from the revived, the quote-unquote revived Roman Empire, which comes from the European Union. In other words, the European Union makes up the 10 kings. And we were told to look for that. Well, now the European Union has over 20 nations, so that thing's not going to happen. Someone got it wrong there. And now that we know what the New World Order is, and now that we understand that the New World Order wants to divide the world into 10 economic zones or regions, like the North American Union and the European Union, it's the whole world that makes up the 10 kings. It's not just one area of the Roman Empire over in Europe. So they got that wrong. So if they got that wrong, how many other things did they get wrong? Well, another thing that they got wrong was the pre-tribulation rapture. People are waiting for that thing to happen so that all the Christians can escape. And over the years, if you've heard this program long enough, you know that I no longer subscribe to that because I don't find it in Scripture. It's really not there, folks. And many of you have also come away from that leaning. God has opened your eyes that the pre-trib rapture is a fairy tale. By the way, if you're new to this program and you didn't know that Watchman's Cry believes this, well, my friend, I'm sorry to say this, but we're going to be here for a good portion of the events that are coming. And there's a reason for that. It's because the church is not ready. And the only thing that can get the church ready is going through purging and the tribulation period. That's the only thing that's going to work, because when we look at today's church, the church is a mess. The church is confused. The church has lost its mission statement. Let's face it, folks. The American and Western church is embarrassing itself. The message of hell has been taken away. The old hymns that talked about the blood and the cross have been taken away and removed. The church has found itself now seeking to please the general population. So as a result, homosexuality is not talked about, sin is not talked about, and people are not getting saved in megachurches. The power of God is missing in today's church. So for those people that say, well, God can rapture the church at any time, you know what, folks? If that's true, then not many people are going to be going. You know, in the 80s, when I used to see those movies, the Left Behind movies, if a church had 200 or 300 people and then the rapture happened, there would be like 3 or 4 or 10 people left. Well, if the rapture did happen in the pre-tribulation manner, as we were taught, and as some people believe, you know what, folks? Some churches are going to still find themselves full of people after the rapture, because the church is not ready right now. The bride has wrinkles. The bride has blemishes. The bride does not understand holiness and righteousness. The bride does not find herself having a love for His word, for God's word. And because the bride is confused right now, the bride is also made up here in America. It's made up of conservative, well-meaning people. People who listen to Fox News and Rush Limbaugh, people who call themselves conservative Christians, and they always vote Republican because Republicans are the good guys. It's the elephants versus the donkeys, and the elephants are all going to heaven, the donkeys are not. That's another template that I notice here in America. But because a lot of people are going through the motions, I'm noticing that when Obama did his executive orders, there was a reaction of passionate fire and anger amongst many conservative Christians, amongst the Republicans. And I didn't find many people from conservative blogs and editorial opinions that asked the question or even visited the concept or question or thought that perhaps what's happening here in America is end time prophecy. I didn't see many people asking if Obama is part of the cast of characters in the end times. What I did find was a lot of people just angry, ready to storm the gates, to light their torches and show up with their pitchforks. But if we are in the end times, is that the way we're supposed to be acting? When one portion of Bible prophecy occurs, are we supposed to react in the flesh? Well, Nathan, how do you know if Obama's amnesty executive order is a part of Bible prophecy? How do you know? I'll be honest, I don't know that. But when I examine what this amnesty order is going to result in, and when I examine how it is part of a big agenda, a globalist agenda, to change America into something that it hasn't been, to change America into a different sort of country, when I examine that this is just one portion of the metamorphosis that America has to go through to become a participant in the end times, things start making sense. So, in order to be able to visit these topics and these news events, these news headlines, these news developments, it is necessary that we examine them through spiritual eyes that come from a biblical and end time point of view. Now, if we want to have that point of view, folks, it's very important. If you want to have a point of view to be able to dissect and understand, then it is necessary to have the eyes to see. First of all, it's going to take some tools that we need to possess. We have to have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. And having the ears to hear and the eyes to see requires a discipline in itself. It's not going to happen on its own power. It's not going to be automatic. It's not going to happen in our natural wisdom or intellect. It has to occur through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the understanding must be revealed to us by God, by His Holy Spirit. He has to be involved. Because if He's not involved, we'll be flying blind. Now, I know that this sounds like a limitation, but it's true. God created His kingdom in this manner, which means having the eyes to see and the ears to hear. He created His kingdom in this manner to exclude the outsiders and the profane ones. And when we go to the book of Revelation, when Jesus has a message to the churches, folks, you remember? Every church, he said the same thing. To him who has the ears to hear, let him hear. Can you hear it? Can you hear the voice of the Spirit? If you can, then hear it. If you don't, something needs to be corrected and fixed. So if you want to understand what's going on today in these end times, number one, you have to have the ears to hear. The ears come from him. The ears to hear come from being a child of God, which means that you need to have your heart right with God. You need to have your spiritual house swept. You have to have your house put in order. You must make sure that you are born again. You must seek to make sure that you have repented and that you are committed to being a child of God, not a pretender and not a fake, not a fraud, not a hypocrite. Folks, if you want to make it in these end times, then you need to be walking as a child of God. And his Spirit must be within you. And you need to make sure that you have a healthy relationship with him, that you are fellowshipping with him. This is very important, folks, because out there, there are many people who claim to know Jesus, but their life says otherwise. I know this is a hard truth with an enduring challenge, but ladies and gentlemen, being a real Christian is not for cowards. It's not for those people who claim that they are, but they never commit to it. In these last days, there is a spiritual battle that's raging right now. I'm not just saying this to shove the Bible down your throat or shove Jesus down your throat. I notice that often people will use that in their defense. People who do not want anything to do with God, they say, that guy's a Christian and he'll shove the Bible down your throat. Don't get around him. That's all you'll hear. Well, you know what, folks? This thing is real. We are in the end times and we are watching a supernatural thing take place. It has to do with end time prophecy. God is real. God created this world. God created you. He created you as his workmanship to do good works in Christ. My friends, we are in a spiritual battle in these last days. And a spiritual battle involves the fight of good versus evil. And when we observe current events taking place, one of the biggest challenges that we're going to have, I'm noticing this even within myself. As I watch current events take place, I notice that every one of the things taking place can result in a response from me, in a thought process from me. And the majority of the time, the process attempts to bring me down to an earthly level to think like Egypt and to think like Babylon. I've noticed that, folks. I noticed that when Obama passed the amnesty thing, there was a temptation to think and summarize it from an earthly point of view. But then I had to shake my head and shake the deception off of me and realize that, hey, this thing is deception. It's occurring so it can get a response from the population. And when you think about it from that point of view, folks, that shows us that we are living around spiritual wickedness. The Obama administration is surrounded by spiritual wickedness that wants to take you as a hostage. The wickedness is very, very subtle, and it's very devious. And this spiritual wickedness desires to destroy you and your loved ones and hijack your soul, folks. So when we examine these things in the perspective of the end times, we need to keep in mind that we're in a battle. And to be able to maintain ourselves, it requires more than being able to recite the end time cast of characters or even the Constitution. To have end time vigilance requires knowing what to do as these things take place, because these things want to affect you, folks. They want to get a hold of you. They want to cause something to happen to you and your family. They want to have an effect on you. And my friends, that's the other thing that needs to be established here. The end times, as they occur, we're not just going to watch it from the sidelines. As they occur, they're going to try to affect you. And in some circumstances, they will affect you. You will be affected by some of the changes that are happening. Because if they have to do with governmental changes and governmental policy, for example, Obamacare, that's going to affect you. Obamacare is part of a worldwide globalist scheme to bring the entire world under one umbrella. But the scheme involves coming in through the back door. What are we going to do when there's a global requirement for some sort of vaccination program? What do? You see, folks, that will affect you. It will affect us because we'll have some choices to make. We'll have to strategize. So as current events are continuing to take place around us, we're going to witness some bizarre things. And here's the part of this information that is challenging to hear. We're just getting started, and there's a lot more coming. Now, we have two more years of Obama, and then what's going to happen? Are we going to have an election in 2016? What do you think, folks? Will we? Will he gracefully bow out and go write a book? And if he does, who's going to take his place? Between now and then, are the Republicans going to do something to sabotage their hopes for the White House in 2016? Are they going to do something foolish? Are they going to do something reactive? What about these illegal aliens that are pouring in? Are all of them going to be the shoe-in? Is that the magic bullet for the Democrats, ensuring that a Democrat stays in the White House from this point on for many more presidential elections? Is that why he did it? Now, I don't know how this thing's going to play out. I really don't. God hasn't told me. Perhaps he'll give me a glimpse. But at this point, I haven't seen it. So I don't know. But this much I do know. We are in the middle of the end time production. And we are not just on Act 1. We are several acts into this thing. But there is a lot more coming. And if this end time narrative has, for example, 20 acts, and where Acts 20 will be Jesus returning, we may be only in Act 1 or 2 or 3. We're at the very beginnings, folks. So there is a lot more that's coming. And this is the thing that needs to be emphasized. If we are at the very beginnings of the end time narrative, the production from the end times, if we're just getting started, how many people are going to realize that future events are just a part of the end time narrative, the end time plan? How many people are going to be able to see and observe that some things are meant to get a reaction from the population? How many people are going to have the foresight and the forethought and the discipline to examine what's coming through those type of eyes? Because already, folks, already, we're watching the end times occur. We're watching the end time narrative affect America. We're watching Obama play his role. We are seeing the truth about America, and we are seeing the change, the metamorphosis of America turning to the beast of Babylon. But have you seen it, folks? More people are angered and grieved over the defilement over the law of the land, the Constitution, than over the defilement of the law of God. Have you noticed that? The law of God has been trampled in America and rejected and deported, but not many people grieved. The Satanists have showed up in Oklahoma. The Muslims are showing up in different states now. They are praying in the National Cathedral, praying to a different God than our Lord and Savior Jesus. But that's not riling up Fox News Christians. You know what's riling up the Christians? That Obama is defiling the Constitution. And you see, folks, at the beginning of the program, I mentioned that it almost got a hold of me. It confused me. But then I had to shake it loose and seek God about it. But how many other people have done that? How many people are allowing themselves to be entrapped because they're mad about the Constitution and freedom? There is a battle for the mind taking place right now, folks. As I stated a moment ago, there is a lot more coming. On these programs, whether it's the Watchman's Cry program or News from the Wall or For Such a Time as This, or whether I'm on Hagman and Hagman, etc., I have brought to the table many times an outline of things that are coming to this country. If you're a regular listener, you have heard me share these things. And those things are a summary based on biblical research, end-time study, and also words from the Lord, words from the Holy Spirit through prayer. And also sometimes the warnings are from prophetic glimpses that God has allowed me to see from time to time. But whatever it is, the thing that cannot be ignored or dismissed is that we are in a new envelope of time right now, and it's never going to go back. Folks, normal will not come back to us in our lifetime. And if you are older like I am, I'm 51 years old, I do not expect America to return to its former days of glory in my lifetime. If the Lord tarries, I do not expect it to happen in my lifetime. What I do expect to happen is a continuation of the present course. And the course has already been set, it has been established, and God has been warning that this course was coming for years now. And he has raised up voices and messengers and servants and individuals from coast to coast throughout the world to warn that things are coming to this planet. Some people have been issued the directive to warn their native country, and that's my directive. That's my calling, to warn America. So that's what I do. And God has revealed that things are coming to this country, that America is going to change. And over the last few years, We have been watching the continual progression of America in its downward spiral to perdition, to waywardness, to desolation, and to destruction. Because that's going to be the eventual destination for this country, folks. I don't like to have to say it, but that's going to be the destination for America as it stands right now in her present course. America's on her way down. And if some of you who are listening decide that you want to leave America, then perhaps you will watch the downward spiral from afar. The majority of you can't do that, though. So you plan to shelter in place. Of course, unless God told you to do it, and he provided for you to do it, and he gave you the means to do it, then your plan would change. But for the most part, the majority of this listening audience is going to shelter in place. So we're stuck here. By the way, as it stands, I'm also staying here. God has not told me to leave yet. So I'm here with you. And we're going to watch this ship go down together. But I'm not saying that just to depress you. I'm not saying it to scare you. I'm saying it because it's the truth. But here's the thing that I also want to include in this declaration, in this information. God wants to be with us, and he wants to hold our hand, and he wants to be there for us so that we can trust in him and depend on him as this thing unwinds. God wants to be at your side as this thing happens, folks. He wants to lead you and guide you and protect you and provide for you. He wants to shelter you and cover you. But the only way that he can do that is if we place ourselves strategically under his wing. And that will not happen if we are following confusion, if we find ourselves following the crowd of emotion, of response, of reaction, if we find ourselves following the crowd of the angry revolutionists. The revolution, it's 1776, we got to do something. Well, Nathan, what are you talking about? Are you saying that if this country was going to be taken over by a communist, we're not supposed to do anything to stop it? Is that what you're telling me? Well, I'm not saying that you can't do anything to stop it, folks, because there is something that we can do to stop it. There is. If enough people got together from coast to coast, and if revival took place, there was a nationwide solemn assembly of repentance and humbleness, that this nation humbled itself, and enough people did it, then yeah, we could stop it. It would stop the craziness from Obama. God could intervene, and God could do it in his method. God could do it through ways that we wouldn't even think of. God could do it. But what do you think, folks? Will it happen? Will there be a corporate gathering of repentance throughout this country? Will the megachurch pastors finally realize that America is a sinking ship and call to order revival services? Plan revival services? Would they? I wish I could say yes. I wish I could say maybe. Unfortunately, folks, there's a blindness that is shrouding this country. There's a slumber that is enveloping this country. There's a darkness that has entered this country and is hovering over it. There's a lack of appetite for the truth of God's word. There's a lack of reverence for a desire for his holiness. There's a lack of thirst to quench all of those that have emptiness in their souls. So here we are, folks. Here we are witnessing the madness. Here we are witnessing America's dismantling. And how many of you thought 10 years ago that you would see something like this? How many of you thought that we would have a president that would destroy the country like he's doing? I didn't, folks. So as I'm watching Obama do his thing, I need to say this, ladies and gentlemen. We need to understand why it's happening. Yes, Obama is in rebellion, and yes, he's destroying America. But, well, you know, I said he's destroying this country, but then I have to put it in the correct perspective. Actually, folks, actually, Obama is just sweeping the crumbs that were already left in the streets of America. Crumbs that were thrown down by everyone. Everyone participated in the destruction of America because most people forgot God. Most people have backslid. Most people decided that they want to live in the flesh instead of the spirit. Most people decided that living for the now is better than living for then. The crumbs were thrown down by the people, and now the rats have come in to eat the crumbs. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to hear the same old echo of recycled excuses and blame, then go listen to talk radio, because talk radio is not going to tell you the real situation or the real problem or the real plan or a real solution. Talk radio is not going to tell you that a great deception is taking place before our eyes. And by the way, the great deception is not Obama, folks. It's not him. The great deception is the reaction that Obama's actions are creating. Now, ladies and gentlemen, please hear me. If you want real truth, then we need to get outside the paradigm of the natural, of the Bill O'Reilly and the Rushbow and the Glenn Beck propaganda. We need to be able to examine current events and see them as they line up with Scripture. Because the Bible does have the secrets revealed to us. The secrets are in plain sight. God told us in advance many years ago. He told us what we would see in the last days. And I've been seeking Him and asking Him about all this, and that's what these programs are about, to share this information with God's remnant. Folks, I want to see you endure. I want to see that your family endures, that you're able to rise above the mess that's around you, that surrounds you. But endurance in these end times is not going to happen without the correct information. So today we have to get control of the right information. So far on this program, I've been talking about America and Obama's actions and the racial tension of Ferguson, Missouri. Aside from that, there are a lot of things. There are many things in play right now. And each one of them is merely a part of a very large script. You know, earlier I admitted that when I saw what Obama did, I was tempted to be angry and frustrated. But when I went to God and I asked Him what was going on, the Holy Spirit basically said and made it clear that, hey, Nathan, I know what's going on. God knows what's going on, folks. He sees what's happening. And some people think to themselves, you know, I wish we could stop it. We need to organize. We need to gather. We need to maneuver. We need to get together. We need to start a grassroots movement to stop it. And while those things may sound good, do you think God could stop it on His own? Of course He could. Could God stop it without the revival that I have stated needs to happen? If America does not have revival, if all of those mega churches don't have revival services and repentance services, if that doesn't happen, what do you think, folks? Could a grassroots movement turn this thing around under its own power, its own momentum? What do you think? Is it possible, folks? Some of you may be saying, why not? Let's try. If there are any people out there that would like to do that, then go for it. God bless you. There's a part of me that would be very happy if you did that. And there's a part of me that would be very happy if it worked, if it was successful. I would admit it. I would love to see it happen. However, I don't see it happening. I don't think it will. Nathan, you're just negative. No, I'm not. I know what the Bible says, and I know what time it is. The demolition is underway. America is in the oven, and the oven is already warm, and it's going to get hotter. And this is the truth that must always be included. God could stop it if He wanted to, but He's allowing it. He's allowing this to happen, folks. When we look at the progression of things that are taking place, we always have to get back to that conclusion. Look how far we've come since 2008. Isn't that interesting that America's downfall and all these crazy events, the crime, the Muslim invasion, the illegal invasion, the pestilence, swine flu, Gulf spill, Fukushima, birds dying, fish dying, all the life dying in the Pacific Ocean, the drought in California, the crash, the bailout, TARP, earthquakes, Sandy Hook, and now we have weather events that are rivaling historic records, the demise of the dollar, the unemployment rate, the lost IRAs, the lost retirement funds, the huge unemployment rate throughout this country, bankrupt cities, bankrupt police stations. Ladies and gentlemen, this country has been in a mess, and how interesting is it that it all started in 2008? And also, we saw Obama get voted in 2008. Both of these things happened within a few weeks of one another. The crash happened in September, and Obama was voted in November. That all started in 08, folks. So I have to ask this question. Why did God let it get this far? Why? And now we see that Muslims are now praying in Christian churches. You think that's a coincidence? Satanists are doing their satanic, ritualistic, demonic meetings in Oklahoma, among other places. We have people getting beheaded in Oklahoma. That thing is just getting started. The Muslim invasion is just getting started. Why didn't God stop it? A few weeks ago, I was on Hagman & Hagman, and I shared the signs. We talked about some of the signs that have showed us that America's in trouble. And some of the signs that we have seen lately have to do with the American flag ripping or falling or catching on fire at sporting events or public events or celebratory events, Olympic events. Over and over, we're seeing weird things happen with the flag. We've also watched signs happen that were very ominous with bald eagles crashing into windows and falling to the ground. We have seen signs take place over and over that America's in trouble. So ladies and gentlemen, no, I don't think it's going to stop. This thing has momentum. And in the midst of the momentum, America, instead of having revival, is going the opposite way. We have recent elections that are voting in, continually, state by state, legalizing gay marriage, legalizing craziness, insanity. So Obama is just one portion of the downfall of America, folks. Now, I just mentioned a lot of things that are taking place, and if those things have not riled up the churches, how can we expect anything else to get the attention of the spiritual leaders? So today, ladies and gentlemen, I sit here behind this microphone from the wall to bring you the report, to bring you the diagnosis, and to bring you the truth. There are events taking place across the land of America that are going to erupt into chaos. And each one of them, one by one, is going to play a role in the big picture. So one of the reasons for this program is to stress that we are watching a multi-act production take place. And we cannot allow ourselves to get caught up in just one of the acts, in one of the pieces of the puzzle. So please maintain your vigilance, folks. When we look at the big picture, when we look at the script, the end game, the end result, there are a variety of points. There is a summary of things that are the desired goals of the New World Order. The New World Order has a plan, and they have a goal. They have a roadmap. They have a script. They have an agenda. I don't know how many points are in the script, and I don't know how long they've given themselves, but I do know certain portions of it based on research and based on some of the things that the Holy Spirit has revealed. But one of the main goals of the New World Order's destruction of America is that they want to see America converted to martial law. This means that between now and then, at some point, America is going to be under the gun of martial law, folks. America is going to be converted entirely into a police state where we will witness the same sort of atmosphere that we saw in Nazi Germany, where there are soldiers, where there are roadblocks, where there are people checking your papers, where you need to have permission to go here and there. That's going to be the end result of America. That's coming, folks. I'm sorry to have to say that, but that's where we're headed. So the things that are taking place right now are going to serve a purpose to get us to then. And I've often wondered to myself, what will it take to get us to complete and utter martial law? What will it take? To the lockdown. What event is going to take us there? Now, in the spirit, over the past few years, I have seen glimpses of events that are coming here to America, and the events that I have seen are many. Some of them have to do with the crash of the dollar, the money crash, where food became scarce, and the general population could not feed itself. I've also seen glimpses where we were invaded by Russia and China. I've seen it, folks. That's coming. I've also seen civil war. I have seen patriots fighting, resisting, and revolting. I have seen glimpses where cities were burning from coast to coast. So I've often wondered which event is going to be the backbreaker. Will it be a terrorist act? I don't know. It could be all of them working together. So when I observe Obama doing what he is doing, one of the things that comes to mind is that his tactics, they have a motive behind them. Now think about this, folks. The motive for the amnesty for the illegals has evil genius behind it, because what it does is it makes a lot of the general population of America angry at the Hispanic community, which results in the general population being against Hispanics. And I don't know who's going to fire the first shot, but we could see tension erupt amongst these groups. And also when we look at Ferguson, we can see a similar thing. We can see that that event has been fueled, it's been strengthened, it's been aggravated, and it's been provoked and encouraged to erupt into something that maybe in the past it wouldn't have erupted into. But that thing will play a role in blacks versus whites versus Hispanics, because those are the three main racial groups here in America. And we have the blacks angry at the whites, and the blacks angry at the Hispanics, and then, of course, the whites retaliating. So between those two things that are occurring right now, we have a powder keg of racial tension. And this eruption could be the tipping point to take us to martial law. Now, whether or not it will be successful, I'm not sure. But the events appear to be designed to import mayhem, evil, and renegades, disease, joblessness, and destabilization. Also, Obama's executive order appears to be designed to anger the basic conservative citizen. Now, that thing is very, very dangerous, folks, because all it will take for that thing to go downhill, all it needs is for one angry person to do something crazy or to do something stupid. So when I watched Obama do the amnesty signing, and then God got me back into focus and I started seeing this thing for what it really is, then it started to make sense that this thing is a trigger point. It's a fuse, and it's being done on purpose, maliciously, to try to get a reaction from everybody or from somebody. Now, is it possible that they could create this atmosphere of tension and then nothing happen? Yeah, that's possible. However, we've also seen in the past that the New World Order does not like to see a crisis go to waste. So at times they have helped it along. They have encouraged through rogue elements or even involved their own provocateurs to get the thing going. So that wouldn't surprise me either. So folks, right now we are watching the pieces come together that are going to work to take this country into more mayhem. And as a watchman of God, this grieves me because I know what the end result's going to be. And many of you know what the end result's going to be. So the thing that I want to leave with all of you, and the thing that needs to be stressed, has to do with the metamorphosis of America into Babylon. Because that's also another thing that we are watching occur here in these last days. The Bible tells us that there will be an entity, a geographical region of the earth, that it calls Mystery Babylon and the Daughter of Babylon. We can find that prophecy in the book of Revelation, as well as in the book of Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51, as well as in other places, like the book of Isaiah. But we can find this geographical end time power that's going to play a key role in taking the earth, the entire world, into desolation and perdition. This end time Babylon kingdom is going to deceive the whole world. It's going to be very powerful and have a lot of influence. And I have maintained on these programs over the past few years that America is that entity. And I've also presented this, folks. If America is that entity or is going to become that entity, then that means that between now and then, America is going to change into it. But America is not just starting to change into Babylon. This thing's been happening now for the last few years. It has been occurring now again since 2008. At this moment in time, where I am with my observation, based on what I have observed here in America, America has been morphing into this end-time creature for the past 6 years. And there is more to come. The sun is just now starting to set on America, but it's going to become very, very dark. And if we want to know, if a person wanted to know, and if you as an end-time believer of God, as his elect, as his remnant believer, if you want to know what to expect, we can know that. We can find it in the scripture. The scriptures tell us the things that Babylon's going to do. But one of the things that's very important that needs to be said is this. If you are a child of God, and if you want to be a wise, vigilant child of God, then it is necessary to keep this always in your focus and in your perspective. You have to, folks. Because if you lose sight of what I'm saying right now, then you can be swept away with the deception that is coming. A great deception is going to come to America, and it's going to lead a lot of people astray, and a lot of well-meaning conservative Christians are going to be swept away with the deception. Now, folks, we're living in very perilous times, and the people of God that are dwelling in America in the midst of this judgment will need to redefine their relationship with Him. Brethren of the faith, I cannot say it enough. We need to draw our hearts closer to God as we enter the next phases of events that are coming. Now, over the past few years, I have shared messages that summarize many of the categorical things that would be coming to America. We've discussed this a lot. We've talked about the fourfold judgment, about famine, economic hardship. We've talked about the pestilence and plague judgment. We've talked about the beast judgment, which involves the invasion of evil spirits. And we've also talked about the sword judgment, which involves tyranny and war. It involves invasion. It involves occupation by enemies. Now, if America does not turn to God, all of the fourfold judgment is going to happen here in the United States. Now, since 2008, we have been enduring the famine judgment, the economic judgment, the hardship that has to do with money and jobs and the economy. And I don't have to convince any of you that we've been going through that. You know this. But the next phases that are coming are going to include some very bizarre things and some very disturbing things. And based on what I have been able to uncover in Scripture, based on what I believe the Holy Spirit has revealed, this is going to involve the beast judgment, which means evil spirits, or in other words, an onslaught of evil. And evil is going to take place across this country where we will see crime increase. We will see people acting in bizarre ways, engaged in horrible, horrific crimes. And God's going to let this happen, folks. That's the unfortunate part of this. Evil spirits are going to be allowed to be loosed in America that are going to take over mobs. So the racial tension of Ferguson is just the beginning. We're going to see racial tension increase all across the country. And when racial tension arrives and when protests arrive, evil spirits are going to do everything they can to make those things erupt into violence and mayhem and death. You see, folks, that's the thing that's pretty spooky when you think about it. If the protests were conducted peacefully and the people did not have the involvement of evil, then in the best case scenario, the protests would happen and the message would be delivered and then everyone would go home. But when we throw into the equation the ingredient of evil, invisible spirits that influence the hearts of men to do crazy things and to seek to do violence, then we have a whole different animal to deal with. And since America is in judgment, ladies and gentlemen, I can't stress this enough. We're going to see this. We're going to see protests where demonic spirits will try to get a hold of the leadership of the protests to cause them to do crazy things, to do violent things. You know, when we look at the violence that is taking place in the Middle East with ISIS, and when we see the cannibalistic, bloodthirsty desire for death, for murder, the savage butchery that we see taking place with ISIS, Satan is behind that thing. It's under the control of demonic creatures who are possessing these people in ISIS to behead and to have a thirst for blood. And that same spirit is going to come here to America. And when it does, when that thing comes here, it's going to be hard for the average person who in the past has not had to deal with something of this nature. It's going to be hard for people to rationalize and to process. I don't know how far the racial tension is going to erupt because of Ferguson. My prayer is that it settles down. Some people want it to continue. They want it to be stretched out, just like we saw during the Rodney King riots. Some people want that because they're violent people and they do not have a heart after God. But we as God's children, as Christians, need to pray that this thing does not come near our dwelling. Now, if this thing continues to get worse, and if the spirit of racial tension, which started in Ferguson, starts to spread to other places, you're going to be challenged when you see these stories in the news. And when you process them through the natural, and if you see that some thugs did some bad things to innocent people and hurt them and committed violent acts, there's going to be a portion of you in the natural that will want to take revenge on them. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, criminals should be punished. I'm not against punishment. But what I'm saying is we need to look at this thing in the natural and also in the spiritual. Now, in the natural, as crime increases, I want to say this for the record. Let it be known, in case some of you are wondering. I, Nathan Liao, do believe in self-defense. And I do believe that it's the job of a father and a parent to protect their innocent children and their loved ones. It is the job of a righteous man to protect the innocent and the helpless. It is the job of a righteous man to stand in the gap between evil and innocence. So if this thing does continue to erupt, I am not against the people of God defending themselves. And if some thugs do come into your neighborhood and they want to do you harm, let's talk about this. What do the people of God need to do? I believe that we need to deal with it in the spiritual realm and in the physical realm. We need to do it both. In the spiritual realm, we need to pray and ask God to protect our loved ones, our family, and if possible, walk your property and ask God to place angels on the four corners of your property. Walk the property, ladies and gentlemen, of your house, of your yard, and you ask God to protect you. Ask Him to place angels around you, to encamp around you, to protect from the evil. And ask God to direct the evil. If any evil is going to come on your street or in front of your house on your sidewalk, ask God to put an invisible shield of protection, a hedge of protection around your property so that the evil goes right past your house, thereby fulfilling Psalms 91. It will not come nigh my dwelling. Recite Psalms 91. Pray Psalms 91. Get your family together. Dad, get your family together, your kids. Get them together, have a meeting, and read Psalms 91 and tell them that we are living in very dangerous times. And you pray Psalms 91. Get your kids to be familiar with it so that they will pray it before they go to sleep. Now, if you happen to live in the Missouri area, in the St. Louis area, or in the area where racial tension is erupting, you need to be praying this. Pray that God protects you and your family. Protect my family, God, in the name of Jesus. And recite Psalms 91. It is written. Folks, we have that ability. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, to equip the saints. So do that. And also, if you have loved ones, if you have a parent or an elderly relative or friend that you watch over, go pray Psalms 91 on their property and come against the powers of darkness. Folks, we have to do things outside of the normal natural thinking process because we are no longer living in normal days. When we look at what Moses did during the Passover before the Exodus, what he recommended to the people sounded bizarre and crazy. It made no sense. What do you mean, kill a sheep and wipe blood on my doorpost? Are you crazy, Moses? Really? Those instructions sounded weird. Back then, they sounded foolish, but they still did it. The children of Israel obeyed God, and God protected them. The angel of death, the destroyer, walked past their house. They were protected. So, in these last days, as we are watching this thing happen, ladies and gentlemen, we need to think outside the box, and we need to think like we believe. We need to show that we believe what the Bible says. And the Bible does say that He'll protect us. And Psalms 91 applies to a judgment. When the pestilence walks up and down the streets at night, during the day, terror, it will not come nigh your dwelling. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our homework. And this is what I wanted to leave you with. Now, in addition to spiritual warfare and spiritual protection and asking God for a hedge of covering, I also want to say this, folks. If perchance you find yourself face to face with the angry mobs, you find yourself face to face with an angry mob of thugs, do something out of the ordinary and pray out loud. Call out in the name of Jesus. Call out for God to soften their hearts, to still the violence. Rebuke the enemy. Tell him that he's not going to bring violence to you. Do it to their face. In the name of Jesus, you are not going to bring violence. Appeal to the mob. Try it, folks. It can't hurt. I believe that if the people of God would try these things, we would hear testimony about how God softened hearts or stopped the thugs from harming the people of God. So if you happen to live in these neighborhoods, this is it. Here is the chance to prove that the salvation of God is real and available. Now, for some of you that might be saying, well, Nathan, you said you believe in self-defense and then you're telling us to pray. Yes, I am. I'm saying pray for God to protect you. And then if a thug does want to bring harm to you or your family or your property, you appeal to them and you tell them not to. But it's okay to do it with a sidearm. It's okay to do it holding on to a weapon and telling them that you don't want to have to use it. But if you have to, you will. It's okay to have that, folks. It's not a failure of faith to do that. And I'm talking about dealing with thugs. I'm not talking about dealing with the New World Order. The New World Order is something else. The beast of the end times is something else. We cannot stop the end time beast, But when it comes to self-defense, I believe that as America goes into mayhem, it will be the duty of God-fearing men and women to protect their loved ones and their families from pirates, bandits, thugs, and thieves, and troublemakers. But that is at the last resort. It's the last resort. Now, I know that from time to time some people don't get it, and there are some people that are so full of evil, they are gone, and they just want to have violence. They love murder, they love mayhem, and they just want to hurt other people. For example, you take murderers who love to kill. They love to hurt the innocent, elderly people, bring harm and pain. For those types of individuals who have seared their conscience, let me say this. This is what I believe also, ladies and gentlemen. Those people have a course that is set for destruction. And God is going to make sure that they die by the sword. Whether it's at the hands of a police officer or someone defending themselves or in prison, if you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. You reap what you sow. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. So if a person wants to live by thuggery, they're going to pay the ultimate price. And they will be killed for their violence, and then they're going to go to hell. So for the people that are against self-defense, because they say it's not our duty to send someone to hell, well, this is how I look at it. God often will use another human being, including his children, his child, to be his hammer. So God uses men with a backbone that are not cowards to be his hammer. So as this thing erupts, we may also find out that some people were forced to be the hammer of God. And if a thug is foolish enough to go against someone that is equipped with the endorsement of God and the protection of God, and if they are stupid enough to try to bring harm to another Christian or a Christian's household that believes in righteousness, then that person made the choice. The thug made the choice, folks. For someone to defend themselves does not mean that you're taking a life from someone else. For someone to defend themselves means that they are defending themselves against another person that is acting foolish, that is deciding to throw their life away. So to use self-defense that is lethal, if it's done in a righteous manner, is not evil, ladies and gentlemen, because the Old Testament is a shadow of many things. God is a God of righteousness, loving kindness, and judgment, but God does judge. All right, ladies and gentlemen, so for those of you that may be struggling with this thing, when you have a thug that decided that they want to be evil and take advantage of the innocent versus a child who has no choice, it would be unrighteous to allow the thug to hurt the innocent child. It would be cowardly to allow the thug to hurt the innocent child because that thug is choosing death for themselves when they choose to hurt the innocent. So I want to leave you also with that, folks. Now, if you don't agree with what I'm saying right here, that's fine. Let your conscience be your guide. But as we are walking into the end times, we're going to have to make choices and decisions that have to do with what I'm talking about. The thing that I do not want happening, folks, is for the people of God to operate with reaction and in emotion without sound doctrine, without a code of ethics, without rules of engagement. We can't just be trigger happy and want to hurt anybody. That's not what it's about. So in the next few days, we're going to watch some very interesting things develop. Again, if you live in some of these danger zones, my friends, start praying right now for God's protection. Now, by the time you're listening to this program, we could already see portions of the country erupting. So if you happen to listen to this, and you're saying, man, the violence is in my neighborhood. I hear the gunshots. I can see buildings burning. I hope that before you even heard this, you have already been praying. And I'm sure many of you will already be praying because that comes first nature to the child of God. But I also want to encourage you to read Psalms 91 and to pray that God protects you and your loved ones. All right, ladies and gentlemen, because God will. I fully believe that. Well, it looks like we're out of time. I know that this is disturbing information, but I have to share it, folks. And in the upcoming audio, I'm going to continue this message, and I'm going to follow up on some of the things that will have developed by then. I'm up here on the wall, folks, and I want to bring you information that you can use. My friends, this is not a time for sleeping. This is not a time for goofing off. This is not a time for apathy or complacency. We need to be on the highest level of alert right now, spiritually, mentally, and physically. We need to be on alert, folks. On the alert. Include God in your plans. And I pray that you will prosper and be safe. All right, folks? And I want to end with a prayer for those of you that may be in the danger zone. Heavenly Father, you see your children that are living in harm's way right now, or it appears that they're in areas that are going through some crazy times. God, there's great evil out there. There are great powers of darkness out there that want to bring harm to your creation, to the innocent. And Father, I pray that you would be there with every person listening. Protect them. Protect their families. Protect their loved ones. Protect their property, God. Lord, do miracles. Show them that you're in control. Father, give us wisdom and insight to be able to walk through these dark times that are now before us. Protect them, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, folks, I'm going to continue this in the next message, so be looking for it. If you don't receive notifications of our new messages, you can go to our website at watchmanscry.com and subscribe to our notifications. And also, folks, please remember us with your prayers and with your support. If you have a prayer request, you can go to our website and contact us and send it in, and we'll be sure to add it to our prayer list. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. So until next time, stay safe, stay vigilant, and may the Lord bless you. Bye-bye.